You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is our review of Tomb Raider.
What's your name?
Lara.
Surname?
Croft. Lara, your father's gone. You can pick up where he left off. I see so much of him in you. Brilliant.
Hello, Sprout. If you're listening to this, then I must be dead. I found something, a tomb called the Mother of Death. If Trinity succeeds, our world is in danger. Promise me you will stop them.
I promise. I think I know where my dad went.
That's right in the middle of the Devil's Sea.
It'll be an adventure.
Death is not an adventure.
You shouldn't have come here. But I'm glad that you did.
What do you know about my father?
Now I see the likeness. The recklessness.
Close the tomb once and for all. The fate of humanity is now in your hands.
Can't be too careful these days. The world has gone bloody mad.
I'll take two.
All right, everybody, you were just listening to the trailer for Tomb Raider, and the story is as follows. Lara Croft is the fiercely independent daughter of an eccentric adventurer who vanished years earlier. Hoping to solve the mystery of her father's disappearance, Croft embarks on a perilous journey to his last known destination, a fabled tomb on a mythical island that might be somewhere off the coast of Japan. The stakes couldn't be any higher, as Lara must rely on her sharp mind, blind faith, and stubborn spirit to venture into the unknown. The film is starring Alicia Vikander, Dominic West, Walton Goggins, Daniel Wu, and Kristen Scott Thomas. It is directed by Roar Ufog and written by Geneva Robertson-Dorrit and Alistair Siddons. Joining me for this review, I have Dan Howitt.
Hello.
And for first time ever on a podcast film review, one of our newest members at Next Best Picture, JC Aldridge, everyone.
Howdy.
All right. So, Tomb Raider, not starring Angelina Jolie. I'm really curious to know what you guys think about this one, but first question I will ask of JC, have you played the new video games which this movie was based on before seeing Tomb Raider?
No, I didn't even realize that there were new ones out. But you know what? I was looking up images and I did see some Tomb Raider, like Lara with a bow and arrow, and I was confused because I don't remember animated Lara with anything other than her guns in the original one. So I guess that would make sense. But no, I haven't played them.
Yeah. Dan?
Yes, I have. I didn't play the old ones when I was a kid, but I played the new ones, the Tomb Raider and Rise of the Tomb Raider. And they're pretty good. They're not amazing, but they're solid games.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. There's more of a platforming aspect to it, a lot of running and jumping and hanging from things.
Yep.
And one thing that I thought was like very apparent about this new version of Tomb Raider is how well those animations within the game are translated to the movie version in terms of some of the stunts.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was a certain point where even I started wondering how much of this is Alicia Vikander on green screen, you know, flailing her body around, and how much of it is CGI. Mm-hmm. And judging by the kind of performance and shape Alicia Vikander got in to play this role, my guess is she did a ton of work on this. Probably at the cost of, you know, doing damage to herself, maybe even. I there were times where I was like, man, she's definitely doing a lot of her own stunts here, it seemed like.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, she definitely seemed like she was physically imposing in the role. She really felt strong enough to be doing everything that she was doing.
Mm-hmm. I was like, God damn, those shoulder blades. My
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah. And that ab work, I think that was really evident from even just the first few minutes of the movie. I mean, even though she lost that fight, it was very apparent that she had some serious physical strength on her side.
Yeah.
She looks like she could whoop anybody's ass. And there were times in this movie where she kicked some serious ass. But my favorite, one of my favorite aspects about this movie, and we can maybe jump off from this point here, is I love how much more grounded this film feels compared to the 2001 version with Angelina Jolie and the sequel thereafter, because there are times where she is a badass and she is, you know, running and jumping and fighting and so on and so forth. But there are also times, too, where she gets hurt, and it's a very committed performance in terms of the anguish that she goes through on this journey.
Oh, yeah. I agree 100%. I think her performance as Lara really sold most of the film for me. I mean, just that, you know, her first kill in the movie, it takes so much anguish and pain in her. I mean, just she's not afraid of showcasing fear through like tears. I mean, she squeals and like her falls and any sort of, she's not enjoying having to inflict this pain on other people, which I feel like is a very real attitude that someone, that an average person would have when put in these situations. I appreciated that sort of reality. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. She is perfectly cast in this movie, and that elevates so much of the film. I mean, we're going to talk about problems that this movie has, but there's no question, I don't think, that Alicia Vikander is the perfect person to play Lara Croft. And since she's pretty much on screen the whole time, it just really elevates the film and makes it a lot more believable and grounded.
Yeah, she, you know, the film starts off with her establishing that she's like, you know, doing kickboxing at a gym. So the movie very wisely establishes early on that she can handle herself and that she's got some training. And, you know, so later on when she's getting into these scenes where she has to physically fight other men, it's not something that's like coming out of nowhere where it's like, how is she such a badass?
Right.
The film establishes that early on, which is smart. She has no money, even though she is the heir to her father's company and her father's fortune. And one thing that was a little unclear to me, maybe it isn't so unclear. So her father is presumed dead. He's been missing for a number of years. And the reason why she won't take the money is because she refuses to acknowledge that he's dead. Is that what's going on here? Right, I got this right.
Yeah, like she can't receive her inheritance, I think is what it is, without her father actually being declared dead, because then she can't inherit anything. So I think that's all it is, but it's kind of inexplicable as to why she's actually poor, because she cannot have the inheritance and still be, I mean, she's still comes from a rich family, so that was a little unclear.
Yeah, and so it's interesting, because that's like the first example in the movie where I started thinking to myself, the storytelling, the screenplay, how the events are unfolding. I mean, when you take a step back and you look at Tomb Raider, it's a very basic story. And it's one that we've actually seen played out throughout other movies, you know, even in modern day times. There's familiar tropes involved, but yet there was still like a lack of clarity in the storytelling that, for me, I was like, why is this like more ambiguous than it needs to be and a little bit more difficult to follow? I guess the word I'm looking for is it was unengaging, maybe?
Yeah, I can see. I mean, I really loved the relationship between her and her father throughout like the little flashback scenes, but it did seem sometimes a little bit unnecessary. It felt almost like they were trying to make it even more of an emotional sort of film than it needed to be, as though it's like, even though it's just supposed to be an action adventure movie. But I think sometimes they were kind of overcompensating for the fact that they had Alicia Vikander. So then they felt like they needed to make it some sort of compelling and, you know, wrought with history when it wasn't necessary.
Yeah, and I think anytime that they're trying to go deep into this story, that's when it's the weakest, because the writing is pretty rough. It's not the worst we've seen, but it's just bland, very bland. And I think unengaging is a good word for the story. Anytime that they were developing the relationship with the dad, I was just uninterested. I was more interested in the journey to find her dad. You know, looking through the research and things like that. But even when they were giving us the clues and we were hearing this, they had the terrible montage as they're going off on a ship where things are fading in and out. It was just really unimpressive. And the clues never really helped the audience in any way. All they did was show us that Laura is reading clues, but the audience didn't need to know what she was reading. It didn't enlighten us in any way. So It was just very bland, but it made for great segues between action sequences, which are easily the best part of this movie.
Yeah, the first opening action sequence actually might be my favorite. I'm not sure, but it's the one where the fox hunt on the bikes.
That was fantastic.
I loved that.
You know, I really got a kick out of that scene, and I thought it was a lot of fun to see this woman outpace all of these men that are trying to, you know, chase her down the street, and she's outsmarting them, and, you know, they're crashing and, you know, with their bikes and what have you. And I found that to be very exhilarating. And then we go to the next sequence, which is the scene where she's on the docks.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually felt like that sequence paled in comparison to the opening one and wasn't as exciting or as entertaining. I'm not exactly entirely sure why, but then there are other moments scattered throughout the film in terms of, you know, big set pieces like the shipwreck and the scene where she's on the, was it a plane? And it's like breaking apart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed to come and go for me in terms of, oh, this is really exciting. And then it was like, oh, this is very uninteresting and boring. I can totally see the CGI at play here. My illusion is broke. That's
oh, yeah. Oh, the CGI was one of my biggest issues with this movie. Like that jump when the boat was crashing and when they're getting to the island and the boat is getting torn away with the crashing waves. It just,
that's an Olympic level jump.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She got a gold medal for that jump.
She looks like a G.I. Joe rag doll being thrown through the air at some points. And I just can't get behind it. It just seems like her hair the CGI, I was not impressed with. And I just feel like, especially in 2018, and especially with films like Rise of the Planet of the Apes, the CGI should not be an issue. So
I can't argue with you guys, but even amidst the crappy CGI, crappy visual effects, and it was just kind of a mess, it was still, a lot of those scenes were really thrilling still to me. I don't know if you guys felt that same way. Like even the shipwreck, it looked terrible, but the intensity was still there for me that I actually kind of liked the shipwreck for what it accomplished. Did you guys like that at all, or was it just a mess?
To me, my favorite is the opening bike chase scene, actually.
Yeah.
I think that's the most well-executed action sequence of the whole film, because everything else was either torn apart from me by impossible physicality.
Right. Right.
The physics of the real world don't apply. And CGI is just all over the place. But that first opening sequence, minimal CGI, clear stunt work, exciting choreography, editing, the music. Can I just say from a segue standpoint, the soundtrack in this movie is pretty awful at times. Not maybe the music, but like there were times where they chose to use actual recorded tracks from like, you know, artists and stuff, and I just thought that it just didn't fit the mood and what we were watching like at all.
Yeah.
And then of course we get to the set piece where she actually goes in the tomb itself, and while all that is a lot of fun because you start getting flashbacks to things like Indiana Jones, and you know, it's interesting and it's horrifying, or it's supposed to be horrifying, and there's like a lot of tension. The thing that hurt me the most with all the stuff in the tomb was how dark and murky the cinematography was, and I couldn't like make out what was happening because of how poorly lit some of those scenes were at times. You know what I mean?
really, I didn't have that experience. I didn't find it too dark. I thought it was, you know, dark enough that it was still tense and, you know, interesting.
Maybe it was the way it was projected in my theater. Maybe that's the way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, could be.
Maybe the digital projection had the brightness turned down a smidge.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think of, like, you know, when they actually get to the part of the movie where she's tomb raiding?
Yeah, like you said, we've seen this a bunch of times before, but it was still thrilling for me. I thought some of it really felt like you were playing the game, which was, and that's not an insult in any way. Like, I think the way that they did the puzzles and the way that they did, you know, the traps in the tomb were really well executed, to where it felt like, mm-hmm. you know, for those of us who have played the game, you know, you get the callback, you get the references, but it still works as a movie device. So, I thought the tomb sequence, as before they get to the tomb itself, I thought that kind of as they're making their way there was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. I just loved Vikander's sort of facial expressions and just general reactions to every obstacle she came in contact with. I just really felt like she made it seem, I was watching the movie and I was like, oh, maybe I could be a Tomb Raider, which is probably not a good thing to be thinking, but it just, she made those scenes seem like they could actually happen, versus with the 2001 version, I was like, all right, well, this is clearly like a video game movie. It's not, you know, this is never, I'm not going to wear shorts and guns strapped to my thighs, but she's attacking this, there's like a scene where the floor is falling apart, and you know, just even that scene, I was like, okay, I could go to a forbidden island somewhere and the floor could fall underneath my feet. Like, I loved those little scenes and all of the spike and the realization that it was, that the whole tomb was supposed to keep people out. I just felt like that was when the puzzle really started to get interesting for me. And when what was inside the tomb, I think, really started to become more important versus earlier on in the film.
What you guys think of, without getting into spoilers, so tread lightly, what you guys think of a reveal that takes place before the third act and then the culmination of that reveal towards the climax of the film? If you need me to be more specific, I can be, but I think
yes,
you guys know what I'm referring to.
I don't.
Okay.
I'm thinking of two right now. So
like, Alicia Vikander finds somebody.
End of the film. Yes. So that, the way in which that happens is so clunky, it was ridiculous. She's off in the woods by herself, you know, attacks somebody else, and then all of a sudden she just
turns a shrapnel on her side.
Yeah, and she just turns around and then, you know, this thing just appears, you know, and so it's just really stupid. I thought she was imagining it, and I really hoped that she was, because it was so ridiculous that I thought she was just hallucinating.
Hey, Dan, usually when I see you on this island, it's you who disappears.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dan, on that. I didn't like that. But I will say, y'all, I cried, you know?
Oh, really?
I cried. I did. I have no shame in my game.
You know, it's like when they started blowing Hunger Games kisses at each other, JC just lost it.
That was it for me. That was it. I was just thinking of that Safe and Sound song that Taylor Swift sang, and I was just gone for, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, I too found it to be a little clunky, even though the emotion of it all kind of came full circle. And dare I say, it did have a little bit of resonance by the end. And I thought it was earned, just barely, though. Like, just barely. But it did what it set out to do, and it gave the movie a bit of emotional heft. I didn't hate it. I also didn't love it. What I did enjoy, though, is I did enjoy what a great opposition Walton Goggins was as the antagonist of this movie. My only gripe with him in this was I wish that he was a little bit more developed. because I thought that how he was playing it was interesting enough, but I felt at the end of the day he was just way too one-dimensional.
Thank you. Yeah, I was about to say I disagree because I really didn't like Walter Goggins in this role, but I think you're right. I don't think it was necessarily his fault as much as the fact that he wasn't given any time to develop his motives and his sort of true reason. I mean, I get that he wanted to get back to his family, but it felt very disingenuous because he wasn't given enough time to really show us how badly he wanted his family and why it was so important to get back to it. So it just, he didn't feel led by anything more than just something superficial, which was a bummer to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of that is, it felt like cheap buildup to a sequel, you know, where it, because the character development comes out of he's being threatened by whatever Trinity is. And so we don't see the mysterious person on the phone because they don't want to reveal it now. And so, yeah, I just I loved his performance. And I think his performance was good enough that it didn't bother me while I was watching the film. It was only after I left and kind of thought about it a little more that his character actually bothered me. But within the film, I thought he was creepy and odd in all the right ways. So I think it works for the most part.
Yeah, I just think the screenplay just didn't do him enough favors in the end. And oh my God, Dan, can we please, and JC, can we please talk about the setup for the sequel at the end of this movie?
Yeah,
and how clunky. Much that bothered the hell out of me. I don't know if it bothered you guys, but I hate it when movies intentionally do that.
We've got more movies. Jobs to do.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's cheap.
I did think that little, I thought it was so funny that when she goes to get her two, you know, guns, I forget what they're called, but she sees them in the like reflection of a mirror, like, or the window, and she's like, oh, guns. Like,
yeah.
It's such a strange segue into that. I mean, I liked that was where she found them in the same place, you know, from the beginning of the movie, but yeah.
It's not even so much even all of that, but it's also the stuff with Trinity, with Kristen Scott Thomas, with the fact that just this whole mystery of the movie kind of goes unsolved, you know, this big conspiracy. It's just like, I don't know. I like it like when, for example, I love the first Pirates of the Caribbean film because it ends and there is no expectation of a sequel. I love the first Matrix film because it ends and there's no expectation that there will be another one. They work on their own as individual films. And I just wish that this movie had ended on the right high note and not left me hanging, because here's the problem. What if you're like me and you're kind of meh on this whole movie and you don't really care if there's a sequel or not? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree. And part of the reason that just is one example of the bad writing and how they didn't realize what the audience was going to care about. Like I said earlier, the time that they invested in telling the audience all these clues and all this backstory of what's actually going to be in the tomb, when it just doesn't matter at all, because all we really care about is the action and the exploration and maybe a little bit of the relationship with her dad. The actual expedition and everything going on with Trinity and whatever that is, it just, none of that really grabbed us at all. So if they'd spent less time developing this unimportant stuff and more time with, more emotion with the dad and things like that, it would have been a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did feel like a lot of the writing was unnecessarily built to create the sequel. Like, I mean, bringing up Trinity in the way that they did in this film seems like its sole goal was to set up for a sequel, because otherwise there was really no purpose in having Trinity in this movie at all.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's head over to final thoughts. Grade out of 10, Oscar potential. Let's start off with you, JC. What do you have for us?
Well, I love Vikander in this role. I think that she is just she's just incredible. I mean, she really just can't do any wrong. Like, she's just, she looks great with the abs, the one physical statement I'll say. I think it's great. and she really gives heart to this film, but it's supposed to be an action adventure film. And as an action adventure film, I feel like it's just very messy in a lot of the really important ways. So I'm going to go with a 6 out of 10 with like a major, there's a major outlier leaning in Vikander's side for that 6 out of 10.
Fair enough. Do you foresee any Oscar potential for video game adaptation?
Best picture.
Alicia Vikander's abs, best supporting actress.
Yes. That's, there we go. End result. Yeah, no. Shocker.
All right, Dan.
Well, so before the final thoughts, we're not talking spoilers, but towards the end, was there a point where you were super mad? I'm trying to speak carefully as possible. Okay. During the climactic fight scene, was there a moment that you guys just found extremely stupid in regards to the ladder?
You messed with the wrong family?
No, just she could have escaped that the whole fight scene like 10 times.
It made me so
angry that I just had to bring it up.
Yeah, sorry. Anyway. The thing I hated about that so much was, in order, this goes back again to physics and how normal people just can't do this. I swear to God, she ran faster in this movie than I've ever seen Tom Cruise run in any movie.
In Mission Impossible?
Yes. There's a sequence where she is running, like sprinting through the tomb. And I was just like, wow, so this is how they're going to. Okay. And I'm like, I've never seen anybody with that level of stamina. And it just, once again, it was like, all right, this is definitely video game level theatrics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
once again, abs supporting role. So.
All right. So my final thoughts. I really alternated between a 5 and a 6 because we talked a lot about bad writing, and there were definitely some dumb moments and things I didn't care about, and bad CGI and all of that. I can't argue with any of that. But I'll tell you, when I left the theater, I was satisfied for the most part. I thought the action sequences were good. I actually loved the plane sequence. I loved, we talked about the bike sequence. The action scenes were good enough that I was really entertained. So even though there's crappy writing, I still overall enjoyed it. So I'll settle on a 5 because there's definitely a lot of negatives. But you can do a lot worse than this movie. So it's a 5 out of 10.
It's interesting. We have a 6, we have a 5. I'm going to be at a 4 on this one. And part of the reason for that is just because the writing, I mean, really, really was pretty detrimental to this whole experience for me. With that said, compared to other video game adaptations I have seen before, this is actually pretty decent. And is not a great movie, but it's okay. It's good. And if anything, because there is going to be a sequel, clearly, unless if this movie completely flops, which I haven't taken a look at the numbers yet, but there is only a path for this sequel that they've set up to go up, as far as I'm concerned. So there is room for improvement if they brought in another director, maybe a different screenwriting duo, whatever the case might be. I do believe that Alicia Vikander is such perfect casting for Lara Croft, and she is by far the best part of the movie, 1,000%.
Yep.
That they can really, really, really elevate the sequel to surpass this. I actually do prefer this more to the Angelina Jolie version, because even though my 12-year-old, 11, however old I was, self, when I saw that movie, dug it then, I rewatched it, and it's nothing. It is nowhere near as good as it was when I was younger. It is a pretty dreadfully painful movie to sit through. But this actually was a bit better for me because of how much more grounded I felt it was within the realm of reality. However, it's when the movie clashes where it becomes ungrounded. And like I said, you have improbable physics, really awkward, imbalanced CGI. A lot of it made me kind of say to myself, man, this movie would have been a lot better if it was just straight up, you know, stunts, very minimal CGI, really, really honed in more on the physicality, but not so much within a CGI environment. You know, I started thinking a lot to the opening scene of something like Casino Royale, where Daniel Craig has like that chase scene through the streets, and next thing you know, they're on top of the freaking crane above the city and fighting. Yeah. And it's like, that's, you know, all wire work, stunt work, no CGI. And I'm thinking to myself, man, if they could find a way how to utilize Alicia Vikander in these Tomb Raider films in that way, like really, like maybe having, I don't know, like a fight scene, like on tree branches, Tiger Dragon style, whatever. You know, I just started thinking to myself, like, this could be really great. And mm-hmm. they could get there with the sequel. And I do believe that there is that potential. As is, this movie has a lot of flaws for me. I didn't hate it, but I also didn't love it either. So I very much am in the middle, but I am leaning a little bit negative. So that's where I land with the 4 out of 10 rating.
Fair enough.
And 0 Oscar potential.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Alrighty. JC, where can I find you on the internet?
You can find me over at Twitter, the Twitter at JC Aldridge.
And Dan Howitt.
You can find me on Twitter at HowittDK. You can also catch me on my main show, The Screeners Podcast.
And you can find me at Next Best Picture. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to our review of Tomb Raider. You can subscribe to the Next Best Picture podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, SoundCloud, and on CastBox. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Nothing less than 5 stars is acceptable. Otherwise, you will have messed with the wrong family. I'm sorry, I just can't get some of the like dreadful dialogue like out of my head from this movie. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you all next time.